Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
It's Chicago's afternoon news here on 720 WGNR. Philadelphia has become the first major city to limit the amount of reasons a police officer would have in pulling someone over, the sort of secondary reasons. Isaiah Thomas is an alderman there, a council member there, I should say, and he joins us. He's going to put it a little better than I did. Council member, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to discuss this important legislation.
So we're talking about, these are called secondary violations, right? Explain that for me.
Yes. So the legislation is called the Driving Equality Legislation, and what we did was we looked at 7 motor vehicle code violations, and we looked at the different mechanisms as it relates to enforcing, and we came up with legislation that would take 7 motor vehicle code violations that do not negatively impact public safety and move them from primary reasons to be pulled over to secondary means of enforcement.
Okay, so we're talking about
once you're already pulled over, if you have a violation, it will be enforced if the violation exists.
Gotcha. We're talking to Philadelphia City Council member Isaiah Thomas. So we're talking about things like maybe a brake light. Councilman, I'm driving around right now with a brake light that's out, so this is of interest to me. But brake lights out, city stickers or stickers out of date, those sorts of things?
So one brake light being out, one tail light being out, because that, again, especially considering most newer cars, that wouldn't create a public safety hazard. We're talking about things that impair the vision. Sometimes you have a car freshener, or in my case, because I'm also a coach, a whistle possibly hanging from your mirror. We're talking about emission stickers because you honestly can't see them until someone has already pulled over it anyway. We're talking about minimal damage to bumpers that specifically don't create public safety hazards. And we're also talking about a 60-day grace period on registration, as well as being able to relocate your license plate as long as it's still visible.
All right, and tell me why this is needed in Philadelphia.
Well, we felt like it was important because we looked at a one-year period, and in that year period, we based on data from the Public Defender's Office, we found that over 300,000 car stops led to contraband or a weapon being found less than 1% of the time. And we also witnessed that while Philadelphia's African-American population hovers around 40 to 45%, depending on what census data you look at, that same demographic make up well over 70% of the motor vehicle code stops in the city of Philadelphia, while often in some neighborhoods are the least likely that you would find contraband.
Okay, so 300 traffic stops based on this, and the idea is that 300,000, I'm sorry. And the idea is that officers would use this as sort of a pretense to make sure everything's on the up and up in the car. And you're saying of the 300,000 stops, police found illegal drugs or guns less than 1% of the time?
Correct.
What's the harm in that? What's the harm in the 99% of the stops otherwise? What damage does that do?
Well, I think if you talk to a lot of the people who are born and raised in the city of Philadelphia who've been pulled over by law enforcement, they can speak to you about the trauma that they often experience when they go through some of these stops that often lead to not just the car being searched, but them being searched as well, too. So it's something that far too often Philadelphians, specifically African-Americans in Philadelphia, essentially experience as it relates to simple commutes. Far too often people are living their life the right way and doing the right thing. And what it does is it creates and continues a level of distrust between neighborhoods of color and law enforcement. And our goal is to begin to change some of those narratives that exist that perpetuate negative relationships between law enforcement and communities of color. And we're hoping that this is just one step in that direction.
Philadelphia Congress Councilman Isaiah Thomas, the idea is these people are getting pulled over while being black and that the police, that they're not fruitful. They don't pay off for officers. Now, I would imagine police see it a different way. What are you hearing from law enforcement? Do they believe that these stops are important? The Supreme Court said they can do it, right?
Well, this legislation was something that was a collaborative effort. And so we worked in collaboration with the administration, with law enforcement, with other members of council, with the public defender's office, with community stakeholders. And this is something that's been in the works for well over a year. So we wouldn't want to put ourselves in a position to ask law enforcement to do something that law enforcement essentially wasn't comfortable with doing. We're not saying that these traffic stops, we're not saying that enforcement will not exist. We're not looking to violate any court guidelines. We're looking at a collaborative effort. This is something that we're trying to do in spite of law enforcement. This is something we're doing in collaboration with law enforcement.
They've signed off on it.
This is something that's anti-police. This is something that's pro-black. And you can be pro-black and not be anti-police.
That's well put. I think I feel as if it would be safer for police, too. I mean, how many times does a police officer make a stop like this and it ends up in escalating into gunfire, officers injured or killed?
I mean, I think that's another perspective to look at it. And I think it also puts law enforcement, for us specifically in Philadelphia, dealing with significant issues as it relates to crime, and puts them in a position where they can focus on serious crime instead of being forced to be put in a position to enforce motor vehicle code violations that often consume a ton of their time, but don't necessarily produce outcomes that make our community much safer. I literally sitting here today got a text message from somebody talking about an issue around public safety that needs the immediate response of law enforcement when it comes to trying to address issues like probable cause. And when we know something is taking place, legislation like this does not take away law enforcement's power to enforce probable cause.
Philadelphia City Council member Isaiah Thomas, I should point out, to the Sandra Bland case that is talked about a lot in Chicago, in Texas, involved a Chicago area woman who was pulled over on a secondary offense. Okay, so does this mean that I can drive around Philadelphia with my tags expired and my brake lights out and never get a ticket?
No, not at all. First and foremost, there are a number of ways of enforcement. But again, if your brake light are out, then you're definitely getting pulled over because that is a public safety hazard. If you're driving a car and you have one bulb that is missing, which again has often been used as a tool or a tactic to disproportionately pull over people of color, then that's one thing. But if you are putting yourself in a position or others in a position where it's not safe, you will still be pulled over. As far as your tags and your registration, the legislation just puts in a 60-day grace period to be able to put people in a position, thinking about COVID and a lot of transfer of vehicles, as well as people relocating and difficulties with technology. We just want to put people in a position to be able to get those things done.
Philadelphia City Council member Isaiah Thomas, I appreciate your time today and your explanation. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me, and I definitely just want to take a moment to give a thank you to my good friend, Mayor Biss of Evanston in the suburbs of Chicago, because he came virtually and testified in support of this bill. We've been talking to him about the legislation as well, and we're here to talk to anybody who's interested in figuring out what can they do in their local area to be able to address this issue. So thank you for giving me the platform, and thank you for allowing me to discuss.
Sounds like we need to check in with Mayor Biss as well. Okay, be well, Councilmember Thomas. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Philadelphia is the first big city to do it. There have been small towns that have done it around the country. I think the state of Virginia as well has done it, where officers no longer pull people over for quote-unquote secondary violations. What do you think? 312-981-7200. I'm interested particularly from police officers. Does this make us less safe or more safe? For the rest of you, too. 312-981-7200. We'll get your calls coming up after a check of the news. Chicago's very own WGN. It's Chicago's afternoon news. I'm Steve Bertrand. Thanks very much for tuning in. Okay, so we talked to the city council member from Philadelphia, Isaiah Thomas is his name, about this idea that police are going to soon, if the mayor signs the ordinance, looks like he will, stop pulling people over for quote-unquote secondary offenses. He says it's needed.
We looked at a one-year period, and in that year period, we based on data from the Public Defender's Office, we found that over 300,000 car stops led to contraband or a weapon being found less than 1% of the time. And we also witness that while Philadelphia's African-American population hovers around 40 to 45%, depending on what census data you look at, that same demographic make up well over 70% of the motor vehicle code stops in the city of Philadelphia, while often in some neighborhoods are the least likely that you would find contraband.
So I'm interested in your reaction to that. 312-981-7200. Dan has called. Hey, Dan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
What do you think?
Well, I'm just concerned. It's the trend seems to be police are no longer proactive. I'm not a policeman, but I would assume police are supposed to be proactive, and the trend of no car chases, no foot chases, can't pull cars over. I'm just concerned about, I would assume that maybe the spike in crime is due to the lack of pro-policing that's taken place today.
Yeah. Have you ever been pulled over for something and had, this happened to me in high school, and I hesitate to even bring it up because I don't even pretend to equate this to being driving while black, but I got pulled over in high school one time for no good reason, and the officer wasn't interested in what I had to say. He just wanted to shine the flashlight in my back window to see if I was a teenager hiding beer back there. I didn't deserve to be pulled over for that, and he didn't find the beer. I got away with that. So no problem there, Dan.
Right. No, I understand that. I have been pulled over and had the car searched for what I thought was no apparent reason. But I just think that the trend of not allowing police to trust their instincts or be proactive, I think it's going to have a backlash.
I get your point. I'm glad you called. Interested to hear from a police officer, too, what they think about it. They certainly would be have much closer opinion of it than I do. John has called. Hey, John.
How you doing there?
Good. What do you think?
So essentially, police officers are the best people we have to protect us. And my brother was a police officer for 21 years. And ironically, he did some things, ran a stop sign, got pulled over, and didn't get a ticket for it.
Because he was an officer?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
At the same time, you're looking at 1,000 other people other than that one guy who's a police officer that are trying to commit crimes. And again, it's 1,000 to 1. All for the police officers and, add more of them.
All right. I appreciate the call, John. We're going to squeeze in one more, I think. Let's turn to Tom. Tom, I think you're going to have the last word on it. What do you say?
Well, Steve, I'm in agreement with what they're doing in Philadelphia. I think it'd be good to go here. I mean, I've heard what the other callers have said. I'm just wondering, in some cases, just the things I've read or followed, it just seems like those pullovers that seem for whatever it be to check to see what you have in the back of your car, like what happened to you, whatever, they just tend to escalate into something that doesn't need to be. Had it been, a community service guy saying, hey, you've got something hanging from your windshield. I'm not armed. I'm no threat. I just think that would go a long way preventing some of these shootings that turn fatal and they're about nothing.
I think often a police officer also could be victimized by these things. And maybe we didn't get into it in the interview enough, but you're not getting away with it. I think they take a record of your car and send you a ticket in the mail as well. So it's not as if you don't have a rear view light or a brake light, you get away with it. I think you still would get ticketed. They're just not going to pull you over to give you the ticket.
Yeah, and they're doing that in other places. I don't know if I just read recently in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it seems to be very successful.
All right, we got to fly.
Thanks, Steve. Love the show.
I'm so glad you listened, Tom. Thanks very much for that. You worried about raking the leaves in the fall? Here's another reason for you to stay on the couch coming up on Chicago's Afternoon News. First, a visit from Mary.